Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this, which is All Saints Sunday, will be taken from the prophet Haggai. And in case you haven't looked up Haggai recently, it's a fairly short book, and I actually looked at the page number for you in the pew Bibles, at least some of the pew Bibles. Of course, they've changed a little, but 749 is the pew Bible that I have up here. That would show, that's the page number you'll find Haggai on. It's right after Zephaniah and right before Zechariah. It's between the two Z's. So if you hit the Z's, you'll find Haggai. And we're going to be reading from the first chapter of Haggai and reading into the second chapter. There's only two chapters, actually. So we're reading just a little portion out of the center of the book. Haggai chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading from verse 13 and then read down through verse 9 of the second chapter. Haggai chapter 1, and we'll begin reading from verse 13. And we'll read as follows in the name of our Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord, Lord of hosts, their God. In the 24th day of the 6th month in the 2nd year of Darius the king. In the 7th month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory, and how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, said the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, all the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. And work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all the nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, we thank you again this morning for your word. And we do pray, Father, as always, that indeed it would be you who would speak through this word. Even as your prophet spoke so many years ago, Father, into the hearts and into the lives of these people coming out of captivity. So, Father, may it be that your word and your voice would speak into our hearts and into our minds as we gather here on this morning. So, Father, sanctify us in the truth, for your word is indeed the truth. For Jesus' name's sake, we pray. Amen. The prophet Haggai prophesied at a time in Israel when the children of Israel had just recently been delivered from the Babylonian captivity. They had been brought into captivity by King Nebuchadnezzar and had been dragged off into the land of Babylon, and there they had lived for a certain amount of time, and now God had delivered them, or actually sent a group of them, a remnant really of them, back to the land of Jerusalem, and in particular, the land of Israel in particular, into Jerusalem. where there they would be given the duty to rebuild the house of the Lord. And Haggai prophesied, and you can read of this in your spare time, but in the book of Ezra in particular is where you see Haggai and also Zechariah, where they minister now the word of God to these people who have found themselves now given the right by first King Cyrus and then also King Darius as well, where they were given the right to go back into their homeland and begin to rebuild the temple and reestablish the worship of their God. They had all this time, they had found themselves, as it were, in captivity, but now God, through this king, through a pagan king, had now sent them into their homeland where they can now rebuild. I found it kind of interesting. Haggai is kind of an interesting prophet. As you read through, it's very quick, easy read. Perhaps that's one of the reasons it's interesting. You can read it very quickly. But as one man once said, as you read through the Bible, as you read from beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, it's not hard for you to see Christ. For those of you who are believers and Christians in this audience, which perhaps makes up the whole lot of you, it's not hard to see Christ even in a passage such as this. Haggai is a very specific prophecy and word of the Lord that is addressing a group of people over a certain thing. So in other words, if you were to read through this whole letter or through this whole prophecy, you would find that God would be speaking to Haggai and telling them, stop worrying, as it were, about all of your stuff and start worrying about my temple. So they would be instructed by God, and actually God would tell them, look, pay attention to what's going on around you. You've been sowing, you haven't been gathering all that much. You've been doing all of this work. You've been eating, but you're still hungry. You've been drinking, but you're still thirsty. You've been going through all of these things, and yet there's no blessing, because it's all you're concerned about is your own individual lives. It's kind of funny. I don't really intend to speak a lot about the election this morning, although it's looming in all of our minds. But isn't that the case? Heard a pastor recently mentioned he was talking to people in the community, and they said, are you going to vote? And they said, nope, we're not going to vote. Well, why? Well, it doesn't affect me. I'll still go to work the next day. I'll still collect my paycheck. I'll still go on about doing the things I'm doing. Doesn't really matter to me who's in office or whatever. And I think by and large, and this is a switch now, okay? Just kind of leave that thought there for a moment. But this is a switch. Now, by and large, this is what you encounter when you start to deal with Christian people as well. You see, there's really a parallel here. There's not a direct word, perhaps, that comes out of Haggai that addresses us in relation to what he's talking about. It's more of a parallel type of message where we begin, as ministers of the Word of God, to address people who are the children of God and direct them away from self and direct them back into the corporate worship and taking care of one another, because that's really what you see in this text. The people were not doing a very good job. In fact, they weren't worried about the temple of God or his house or his worship at all. He says, look at you. You're living in paneled houses and sealed houses, and you're living in this way, but you have neglected completely the house of God. Now, this isn't an indictment either, and maybe in some ways it is an indictment against the church as far as taking care of one another. But actually, I really, as I looked at this passage and thought about this message throughout the week, I looked at a lot of different passages, but when I started reading Haggai, it became plain and evident to me that this is what we need. Or perhaps this is what I need. I don't know. We'll find out. But as we go through this, you see the prophet Haggai begins to talk to these men, to Zerubbabel and to Joshua, and also to the people. Zerubbabel is the governor. He's the one who's kind of in charge of that area. The king Cyrus had given them the authority now to go over there and to get this building going. Joshua was the high priest. He would have been the one who was supposed to actually get the worship going again, conduct all of the worship that was laid out for them by their God in order to worship him as they used to so many years ago in a temple that was dedicated to him. And the people were simply encouraged to be obedient. To be obedient to the word. It's interesting. Sometimes when we consider the church, I don't know how you look at the church, and I want to address the church this morning. The church as it was laid out or as it's thought of, perhaps more in the Lutheran thought, is the church militant. In other words, we are a communion of saints, but we, you and I, who are breathing air this morning and living in this world, are the church that is militant. We are the church that goes out and engages the world for Jesus Christ. We fight the good fight of faith and all of that. And the church triumphant is the church that has already made it over to the other side. They are the ones who are already there in the realms of heaven and enjoying the peace and the tranquility of being with their God. We, who are the church militant, very often need to be comforted as we go through our lives, and especially perhaps in a time such as this. It's kind of ironic. Well, maybe not ironic, but I thought it was quite interesting that Harvey addressed this even in his reading and prayer, because this was on my thoughts, or in my thoughts and on my mind as well, that we would again remember who we are. Now, I am not telling you as we go through this message this morning that you are not to go out and vote. By all means, you go out and you vote. You do your civic duty as a citizen of this country. That is your duty, to vote according to your conscience for whoever it is that you cast your vote for. But I'm not going to address politics this morning. And I'm not going to tell you who you should vote for. Some pastors might. There's a voting guide on the back table, by the way. I forgot to mention that to Raymond. There's a voting guide as you leave the sanctuary this morning. You can take one of those voting guides. And some people laid it out very well for you where all of these people stand in various things like abortion and so on. All of these things that we deal with in the political world. You can vote according to that. But what I want to address to you this morning is who we are as the church. No matter who wins the election on Tuesday, the church remains the same. I got kind of excited this morning. I was reading out of one of my other Bibles this story of Haggai, and I ran downstairs. My sons were sitting in the family room, and I said, "Hey, you read this word of God, because this word of God is going to stand. Everything else that you see around you, all of this, the stuff that we enjoy, all of this stuff is just temporary. This United States that we live in is temporary. But this word of God, it says, endures and stands forever. It'll never change. And what it says addresses us at each and every moment in our life and will clear into eternity." So you tell me what's important. You tell me what's important to read to your children at night as you set them down and begin to tell them stories of the past day or whatever else it might be. You tell me. It is the Word of God as it addresses us in our lives that strengthens us, that actually gives us the ability to stand strong in this world. And this is where I want to encourage you. You see, you may be quite discouraged on Wednesday morning. I don't know. Or you may be jubilant and jumping with joy. But what matters is what you understand about yourself within the kingdom of God, because that's the kingdom of the left hand, as Luther was fond of calling it. It functions and has its duty. It does its things. It makes laws and all of these things within a society or a group of people. But the Word of God, as it addresses us over the span of time from the very beginning to the very end of our lives. It is this Word that will assure us that we're actually going to have a citizenship and a home that is found in heaven, and that we will have peace as we live in our lives. Because you see, very often we're not very peaceful people, are we? Are you peaceful this morning? Are you anxious about this upcoming election? And here I go carrying on about it, but because it affects me too, okay? I'm not standing up here this morning to tell you that I'm not affected by this. I got my thoughts, I got my opinions, just like anybody else. And I got it in my mind who you ought to vote for. But I'm not going to tell you. Because I want you to be stand strong like these people were instructed to stand strong. We need each other. The church at no other time perhaps in its history needs each other. There's a lot of different people in here. I don't know where you all go to church. But I tell you something this morning, I need each one of you. I see people from North Carolina, I see people from New Hampshire, from South Carolina, from Washington. I need you. We all need one another. There's no other time in history where the church must begin to come together in such a grand way that the gospel of Jesus Christ would be present and center at its core. That we would gather together as a group of people and we would begin to take this world by storm. And I mean that. Not in some political shape or way, but actually take this world by storm as Paul understood it. He says, this is what I desire, that I might win people to Christ. That I might win them to Him. He says, this is what I press forward for. This is what I put all my energy and effort into. I want people to know of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that is found in Him. I want them to walk through life in peace and in joy, no matter what they face and no matter who is in control in the grand big white home in Washington, D.C. This is what I want people to know. Amen, brother. God is in control. And this is what we see. And actually in Haggai, I was tempted to just read the whole thing for you this morning because it's just a thing of beauty. As you go through Haggai, you see something very interesting take place. Actually, Haggai rebukes these people. He rebukes them for not taking care of the house of God, and he rebukes them for living in an unclean and worldly way. But he says that God is actually going to have compassion on you. This is what the world needs to hear, my friends. The world needs to hear of a God who loves them. They need to hear how His Word addresses them in their lives. And this is what your duty and mine is as well this morning as we look at a passage such as this and hear the words of a prophet who is encouraging the people. The prophet who is simply just the mouthpiece of God. Because he says these words. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. You see, there's no greater thing for the Christian to understand than that God is with them. No matter where they live in their lives, no matter what they're going through, and there's people going through an awful lot of bad stuff, it's good, we need to understand this, or you and I who live here in this great state of Minnesota, where traffic is so light, at least in our area, we need to understand where our strength and our hope is found, and who gives us that strength and ability to work. And I'm not talking here about physical labor or work or whatever it is that you do in your vocation here in this world. I'm talking about work within the kingdom of God. He has given you and I the ability to work within this kingdom. Some have a voice and they stand up and they preach. like I am doing this morning. Others simply have many other ways, and I'm not going to go off and list them all. You know all of the fruits, and you've read of all of the gifts within Paul's letters to Corinthians and to the Galatians and so on. But he simply tells us clearly this morning to be strong. Last weekend I preached, they were called Reformation services, so I intentionally spent a lot of time looking into some of Luther's writings, but looking into some of his writing and some of his quotes. And he had a very interesting quote to me that goes really right along with this. And that is, he simply says, this is what the job is of the individuals within the church of God. You know what your job is? To holler out encouragement to the other person who's defending the wall, who's defending the word of God. Hey, you, be encouraged. The Lord loves you. He's with you, whatever you're doing. Hey, you over there, do you understand what God has done for you, how he has provided for you in his word, how he has shed his blood through his son on the center cross of Calvary and forgiven you for all your sins? Do you understand that this morning? Or what are you standing on? In what strength are you standing on this morning? We all have different positions and callings in the church. I can't be you and you can't be me, but we are called to be who God has made us to be. There's perhaps no other freeing thing than that, to know that God has simply gifted you where you are so that you are able to minister to the people in your lives and the church around you by what you contribute. You are not insignificant. You don't need to be a pastor or a preacher to be significant within the kingdom of God. We are all very significant and need one another. Which is what the people in Haggai's time needed to understand. It's not simply about you going out there and gaining wealth for yourself and establishing yourself in this world as an individual, a rugged individual who takes care of his own family and whatever else it might be. It's not just about that. It's about the other. You see, to be Christian in this world is to be an imitator of Christ. It is to live for the other. And this is what the church must do. Now, I'm not saying here this morning that we're about to splinter in this congregation. Please don't take it that way. I'm simply encouraging you this morning as one who stands, as one old man used to say, on the walls of Zion, to simply bring to you the message of the gospel, that you would understand again this morning as you go out from this place and do whatever it is that you're going to do today, that you are a child of God. He has paid your sin debt in full. And he's telling you through the prophet Haggai, be strong. Listen to what I'm telling you, because this will bring you strength and encouragement. Nothing else will. Nothing else will. Now, I'm kind of skipping through this text, as you know, because I don't want to make this message too long this morning. But there's a couple other things I want to point out to you. One is the covenant. And this is what we encourage each other with. Haggai tells these people that he's ministering to, be strong, understand what God has done for you, and work, and understand again the covenant to which God has joined himself to you with. A covenant, if you don't know what that means, it's simply an agreement that God has made now. And you can read of this in all over the place in the scripture. He says, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. The very words of Christ. The very words of Christ as he encounters you in your life and in our situation at this very moment. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Well, why not? Isn't there a lot to be afraid of? I mean, there's a lot that could be lost. if the wrong person gets into the office. Yeah, that's right, there is. There is a lot that could be lost. But one thing that we have a guarantee of this morning and always, according to the Word of God, is what God has covenanted and agreed with through the work of His Son and marked us with that blood. He assures us that that is enough. When He said, "It is finished," it was finished. The work is complete, and we are found in Him. God says, "I'm never, ever going to break that covenant. I will not break that agreement with you. I sealed it in blood. In my Son's own blood, I sealed this covenant." This is what you belong to this morning if you are a child of God. So be strong. He says, "Yet," and I love this portion of this passage here, "yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." Here, of course, he's talking about this second temple that would be built after the destruction of Solomon's temple that would be built in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. But here we can see a very clear prophecy to the time of Christ. When Christ died on the center cross of Calvary, do you know what happened? Creation shook. There was a tremendous earthquake. And when he rose from the tomb and the stone was rolled away, again, creation shook. God has shaken this world already through the gospel of His Son, Jesus the Christ. And you and I are the ones who have experienced the shakingness of this. Except for one thing is different for you and I than those who haven't experienced it. We have not been shaken. You see, this great land of America, the kingdoms of this world are going to shake and they're going to fall away. And they're not going to remain forever. But the kingdom of God to which you and I belong is the unshakable kingdom. As everything else shakes and moves and begins to fall away, we stand because we are in the unshakable kingdom of God. And I can guarantee you this morning, there is nothing that can shake you or off of that foundation. The Hebrew writer tells us about this. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, 12th chapter of Hebrews, I'll read this quickly. See, time is swiftly going. He says in verses 26 through 28, "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he saith that now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." You see who we reckon with? This is who we reckon with. We deal with a God who shakes things. But he doesn't shake them just simply to destroy people. He's not about destroying. He shakes them to take away all of the junk, all of the religion, all of the me, and the stuff that I want to do and hold up as religious or whatever else it might be. All of that begins to shake away as we begin to have our eyes and our minds clearly focused again on the person to which we should be focused on, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. This is what this consuming fire does. It burns all of that junk away till we have only one thing left that we hang on to, and that is the center cross of Calvary and the finished work of Jesus Christ. This is where I hang, and this is where I will be until the day he receives me unto himself. No king can give me that. No president. No government. Nobody can give me any of that. There's only one person who can, and his name is God. And this is who I cling to this morning, and his word, which is why I got so excited this morning and went running down into the family room with my Bible and saying, boys, you got to read this. I'm telling you this morning, you got to read this. You got to understand, young people, there's no greater message in all of the universe than what's written on the pages of this book. Read it. Don't just take my word for it. Read it. And you'll be pleasantly surprised. In fact, you'll be amazed as God begins to speak to you through his word and encourage you from prophets like Haggai and apostles like John and Paul as they speak to you of the unshakable kingdom to which you belong. And you will encounter your world in a vastly different way because you will encounter it with grace. You will come to them with grace, and you will show to them the grace and the mercy of your God. Because, my friends, we are the church militant. So we are the church that goes out and works in this world to bring them to the knowledge of peace. The silver is mine, saith the Lord, and the gold is mine as well. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, because the glory of this latter house is none other than Jesus Christ. He is the new temple to which you and I belong. May God help us as we continue on in this world to remember exactly what he has done and exactly who we are. Amen.